There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Wednesday. Live local talk over the hour. Of course, the phone line, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. And I mentioned as we went to the break, I don't even think I get paid for this half hour because I get to talk to one of my friends and get to talk to him about a bunch of things that I'm interested in, and that's my buddy Bill Riles. You know him as anchor at WKRG, and maybe you know that he is an author as well, but we'll find out more about that right now. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Sean. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
It's always a pleasure, and a lot to talk about today. I do want to start off with this because I think right now, and so much of what obviously you're doing with WKRG, what we're doing here at FM Talk 106.5, is talking about the news story of coronavirus and the fight against it, also the issues facing businesses around town. But people need some escape. We need escape every day, but probably more than ever, people are looking for escape, and they have a little more time to escape these days.
You know, I keep telling people that, and then I hit them with this website, Amazon or something, where they can download a book or they can order a copy of my new book. It's called Deadline, and believe it or not, it's set in Mobile. Well, it might be said a little too much in Mobile. I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, you know, look at the tease here on the book. And we've got it's set on Mobile Bay. You don't just say some bay along the Gulf Coast. You said Mobile Bay.
Sure, yeah. Well, you got to be somewhere, you know. You might as well be somewhere that's somewhat familiar with a lot of people. And I think Mobile Bay is. And, you know, it's one of those destination-type things that people, you know, don't mind coming here. We find that out every summer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I figured, you know, give it some locale, give it something good. And so I kind of did. So that's where my character, Noah Sky, is based. He's an investigative reporter, and he's off on another dangerous romp, which is much more than I ever do.
You and I talked, I remember when we were talking about Kill Room and your last novel. This was, I mean, a lot of what went into this is your backstory here is that your time in newsrooms, right? I mean, you can paint the picture quite well because it's what you do every day.
Well, and the thing is, you know, people are, when you're a writer, people always say, write what you know. And of course, that's what I know. And I wanted somebody who was more of a into the crime fiction genre that is not a cop or a retired cop or a private detective or something like that. And so this kind of fit the bill, and I just kind of went with it.
Well, and I like it. And the new book, I can't wait to check it out. So Deadline, set in Mobile, and it is a crime drama. Is it ripped from today's headlines, or is it something completely different? How would you describe it?
No, it's got quite a lot of today's headlines. And I heard Jeff Sessions on not long ago on your show talking about the immigration problem. There's some of that. The premise of this book is it's a sequel to Kill Room. And, of course, that book was about Noah Sky breaking the story of some of these major industrial plants who recruit people from across the border to work cheap. And, you know, that happens. And it's stories that I've reported on in years past. And it's a thing. And, you saw the raids on the plants in Mississippi.
Yep.
And so it follows right down that path. And then we've also got a smattering of the opioid crisis in there because my character, Noah Sky, has a slight problem. And so we're addressing that. And so there's lots of little nuggets of current headlines. Unfortunately, not the most current headline is in it, because this came out long before this pandemic.
How do you, if you're thinking about that, now, I was just joining us, talking to my buddy, a WKRG anchor, novelist, and all-around good guy, Bill Riles. If you're sitting down now, and you're going to start writing a Noah Sky novel or another, and setting it in the time of coronavirus, your characters couldn't go many places. Or maybe that's the story. They couldn't. I mean, they couldn't say, well, and I was down, you know, here, and then I went over there, and then this other person over there would be like, oh, well, I went from the living room to the bedroom.
Yeah, I was Skyping with my wife, or something like that. It's difficult to kind of put yourself in that place and kind of fictionalize it out and figure out how you're going to do it. But, maybe it's not that we're not supposed to go to those places, but we went anyway because we had to, or something along those lines. The conflict. Conflict drives your novel.
Adds drama, especially if Noah Sky gets pulled over and given a ticket for breaking curfew.
He don't make the kind of bucks you can pay $100 for a ticket or $200 if he gets caught twice.
That's right. You might have to have him get caught twice inside a book. What is, talk about this and your character Noah Sky. Does Noah Sky drive the story, or do you find a story that you put Noah Sky into?
It's really more of a story that he falls into and doesn't really mean to. Just like Kill Room, he gets caught up in this thing where. In this particular case, I mentioned the Kill Room was about the industrial plant and some corrupt people who ran that. Fictionalized industrial plant, by the way, just let me throw that out there so nobody's ringing up their lawyers. But this one is a guy who was closely connected to the plant, who's a Mobile philanthropist. And everybody thinks a lot of him, but he's also somehow, in the years past, gotten caught up in some dirty doings associated with this industrial plant, the immigration of undocumented folks to work there. And so he needs Noah Sky offed, and he quietly tries to go about that. And so he hires someone to do it who is also a pretty devious character. So I got one good guy and a couple of devious characters in here.
It makes good for good page turning out there as well. And I want to remind folks, because I'm looking at text here, how they can get the book. They can order it online. They can still be socially distant and get the book, right?
Yeah, and I'll give a shout out to my friend Angela at the Haunted Bookshop here in Mobile. I did not get the book in time to get it to all the independent bookstores before they had to close, but Angela had already closed, but she is. Has online ordering at the Haunted Bookshop, and she will deliver it if you order it. She's still closed, but if you order it through her bookshop, the Haunted Bookshop in downtown Mobile, she will be glad to deliver it. And you can also order it there on that other big bookstore, I think they call it Amazon, and you just have to punch in my name. That's all you have to do, and you'll find it.
You'll find
all three of them, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we call it because... Tell me definition-wise, because The Ghost of Henry Cotton, it's different, so it's not a trilogy yet. It's three books, right? If you had another Noah Sky, that would be a trilogy?
That's kind of what we're going for, yeah. I wanted to keep Noah Sky alive as long as I can. The Ghost of Henry Cotton was my first book, and it's set in my hometown up there in the Mississippi Delta of Tunica, Mississippi. And it's just a slow-burn tale of murder and deceit and corruption in a small town. So I liked it.
This is why Bill is such an amiable dude, is because he gets all this other stuff out in his novels.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. All the stuff that, Noah Sky goes through all kinds of stuff. I think I've said it on my show, on your show before, is that if people had to follow along on my day, they'd be bored out of their mind. But, just with the monotony of writing stories and shooting video and editing video and stuff like that. Well, Noah gets into all the other good stuff, So this is kind of my alter ego, but the better.
I don't want to talk about that. You say the monotony, but I may disagree. We're going to pull the curtain back, and especially pull the curtain back on reporting these stories in a pandemic. We return to our conversation with Bill Riles from WKRG, also the author of the brand new book, Deadline, a Noah Sky novel, of course, The Kill Room, and The Ghost of Henry Cotton. I'll give you a link on my Twitter feed to grab those as well. Be right back.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. A reminder, too, on the front page of the good old-fashioned website, fmtalk1065.com, is one of the places we've always said you can get our podcast. Now, you can also have them delivered to iTunes or Stitcher, or actually, I don't know that there's a podcast platform that we're not on and available. Heck, we're on Spotify, too. You can get it mixed in with your music. I mean, our podcasts are everywhere. We'd love you to subscribe. But if you're looking to dig down into the stories, how COVID-19 is affecting us locally, along the top row at fmtalk1065.com, you'll see the tab for COVID-19 local news. You click that, and you'll have, and if you've been listening to this show over time, you know we have a wide-ranging kind of interviews. It's stories that are dealing with COVID-19, but from a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different voices, a lot of different angles. And you can check them out in one place where I know the fancy folks say we have curated the interviews there. I'm not that fancy. So I gathered them up and they're all in one place on the front page of the website. Just click the link for COVID-19 local news. All right, continue conversation with my buddy Bill Riles, of course, anchor at WKRG and author. And the new book out now. Once again, if people want to get it locally, they can get it through the Haunted Bookshop.
That's exactly right, yeah. And if they're not open, you can't go in and browse, but all you have to do is get on that website, order it. Angela will deliver it personally.
Don't you love the nimbleness we're seeing? I mean, we're all, you know, I'm a guy that likes to look for silver linings out there. And in these tough times out there for business, there's businesses that have been, that stay open, find a way to stay open, do things to make it work for their customers. So hats off to all of them. I mean, that's great.
Absolutely. And we're trying to find those as well. We're the media, you know,
yeah.
So we get bash for over-hyping, under-hyping, not hyping, you know, all of that. I can say everything we're reporting about coronavirus is true, and that includes the good stories of what people are doing.
Yeah, I like those. I know you like them too, and I like to find those. Let's talk a bit about what it's like to do your job right now. You've covered heavy subjects over your career. We've local, regional, national, heavy, but I want you to, I'm not going to answer the question for you, but covering a pandemic, your take on that, first blush, what's this been like for you?
It's new, and it's difficult, and, I think the biggest problem with it is we don't know when it's going to end. Nobody does. And, everybody talks about getting back to normal, but at this point, I don't see the light at the end of that tunnel. At this point, and that I don't say that as a doomsday. I do believe we'll get through it, but I just don't think anybody knows when that's going to happen. And that includes us as a TV station and as journalists. We keep looking too. We keep looking for those signs that something may change at some point. Maybe that the numbers start plateauing or start going down, or we don't have as many deaths or confirmed cases of it as we tomorrow as we did today. You know, that sort of thing. Those are the only things you can really look for right now. And you just, you hope and pray none of your friends or relatives and loved ones come down with it. And then you keep covering the angles that present themselves each day. And that's what we do. I will say that it's been a challenge insofar as trying to keep our people in the field and keep them out of the building. Our news director and management, Chris Best, have done their best to kind of identify those folks who just don't need to be in the building day to day. And so it's opened up this whole new virtual world for us, which we knew was attainable. We knew we didn't really have to have our NNJ reporters or photographers or anything come into the building. You know, they can work from home, they can work from their cars and work from a different location. And that's what's happened in our case. And it's so far, I'd say this with my fingers crossed, working out okay.
Well, and obviously people are watching, you're making the product out there, but do you think there's, if it's a week or two, it's one thing, but long term, do you think there's a loss? And I mean, I embrace technology. I mean, heck, it's the way we can run this station. But is there a loss when you don't have the cross-pollination, to be cliched, of folks in the newsroom? And people have not ever been to a newsroom before. It's something. It's all those personalities in there and bouncing stories and watching y'all work. I mean, there has to be a value that comes from that that is intangible, but it does show itself.
Well, I think in time we'll get there, and I think maybe we already are getting there because, you know, you see people on the national level working out of their homes and reporting from their homes, and they've gone to great lengths to make sure that there's still some quality there. It's not like you have the three people, you know, sitting on the set, and maybe the banter or the, you know, the camaraderie and the all of that is showing through. It shows through as much as it can when you're on a separate feed with a slight delay, and you're not quite all in the same room, or maybe not all on the same page. But I think in time, people will probably get used to it when they turn on the news. You know, they want the information, and we're there to bring them the information, whether we're sitting in our living room or sitting on the pretty set, you know, in the news studio. So we try to keep that part of it going, the pretty set in the news studio, that is, as much as we can. Up until the point where somehow the virus gets into our building, we have to stop and come back and have it disinfected until we can move back in, you know. So those are some of the challenges we face. And then you have the other challenges, like I'm working from home right now, and as soon as I got on the phone with you, or as soon as I get ready to cut some audio, my neighbor decides to crank up his lawnmower.
That's by design.
That kind of stuff. There are those challenges. And then, you know as well as I do that if you're at the radio station and need to feed something, say a 30-minute program, you can do it pretty quick. You know, I'm sitting at home with, you know, whatever many dozens of megabytes I got, and trying to upload a video story to the station to air takes much longer than if I'm sitting at the station plugged directly into the system.
Right.
You know? So those are the kind of challenges that we're looking at right now. But, you know, they're overcomable. We have people who work out in the field all the time and do that very same thing every single day. So, you know, it's not something we haven't overcome. It just takes a little bit longer.
Let's do a little tech nerd stuff. And I know that, like, you and John are on set, but Jessica is at her house. Did the engineering crew go over there and put a camera in her house? Is there a camera person there at her house? How's that work?
Well, I'll be honest with you. This is where your smartphone comes into play in a big, big way. And, of course, the quality of smartphones, every generation is better. And what we use, I'll just pull back the curtain.
I love it.
What we use is for most of our field crews, they use a hotspot, internet hotspot. Some of them have a laptop. Some of them only have an iPhone with an editing program on it. And so they'll cut their stories on the iPhone and send it back. We call those our Mojo reporters, and those include Blake Brown and Daniel Smithson over in Pensacola. And they will shoot all their stories on an iPhone, cut it with a editing app on the iPhone, and then they'll send it in through an FTP program that Nexstar, our corporate parent, has established and operates. And then we have some are what we call our MMJ reporters. They're usually standalone folks. They might work with a photographer or not, but they usually shoot their own stories. They have a laptop editing program on that. They send those in. And as far as Jessica's situation, it was a little bit of a struggle because we had some audio issues with her there at her home, because her living room is where it was about the best place for her to broadcast from, but it is a sort of a cavernous space.
Right.
So you know as well as I do, your studio, you have the foam panels and things like that kind of deaden the sound. So we had to kind of do some of that stuff, and then we had some technical difficulties trying to get good audio into her iPhone. She is shooting her shots from an app called a TVU app, and it is on her cell phone. And so she has her smartphone pointed at her. I think in her case it's an iPhone, and it's pointed at her, and she has a little rig where she plugs in her earpiece to hear the producers and directors and talking to her and tell her when she's on, when she's not, and then she reads the scripts from an iPad. So far, she's done a pretty good job of it, despite some of the technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's interesting, and this is the best, of course, for all of us in new technology. I'm working on some right now for some of our shows, and maybe it's something you know I thought about in the past, but when you're forced to, necessity, the mother of invention, or at least the mother of downloading a new app and learning how to use it. And think about the days past, what a live shot would take, the amount of infrastructure a live shot would take, and now we're talking about the phone that's in our pocket.
Well, and I tell you, part of this I wrote about it in Deadline in the book, just to kind of give it some flavor. But, you know, we were already in it. We've been in a transition in TV news for quite some time. The technology is such that we have the live trucks that you see with the tall mast and the microwave capability, and they're digital, you know, but we don't use them as much because, first of all, it takes someone trained to use the truck to use it. You don't want them driving under wires and stuff, so that's got to be drilled into them. And but now we all use what is called the TVU. It's a box broadband, and it's just a small device like a little computer. You take it around, you plug your camera into it, and you're live, you know. And all of our folks, myself included, our reporters, our photographers, we all have the TVU app. So ideally we can go anywhere, turn on the app, and go live from just about anywhere in the world where you've got a Wi-Fi connection.
Pretty incredible stuff. Bill, once again, somebody wants to pick up a copy of the new book or the others, the two older books, where do they go?
The Haunted Bookshop. Call Angela Quarles down there or check out Amazon.com. Just punch my name in, R-I-A-L-E-S, and you'll find all three of my books. And I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. And if y'all need information, always call me here. I'll put you in touch with Bill. Bill, thank you, man.
Thank you, Sean. It's been a pleasure. Always be.
Indeed. I always like to get to talk to my buddy. Y'all need to read his books. Good stuff, and maybe a way to pass the time here during your quarantine.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Glad to have you along. We'll be checking in with our friend Kim Garrett from Victory Health Partners in a second. I want to check in with my main man, Angelo, at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And let's talk, Angelo. I was just talking to Bill Riles, and we're talking about how nimble local businesses are trying to figure out how to navigate this new coronavirus economy. And a lot of that goes on online, and y'all got a heck of a presence online.
Oh, we certainly do. Between the podcast and radio show we do here with 106.5, between the website we've got over 9,000 items on our eBay store, and we were able to relink the website to our eBay store. So somebody wants to stay at home and shelter in place and be safe and comfortable, but yet still do a little bit of shopping, they can go to mobilebaycoins.com and they can shop for their coins and collectibles and jewelry and things like that there. If somebody has a need for some cash, yeah, things are really crazy for a lot of us right now. We are still open at the shop. We're observing all the social distancing protocols, if you will. If somebody has scrap gold or silver they're thinking of selling, they've got gold or silver bullion or a coin collection they're thinking of selling, we are here and open for business. Monday through Fridays, 9 to 5, and on Saturdays, 9 to 1 or 2. Saturdays, we're going a little light in the afternoon if it's sunny outside, if you know what I mean.
So give people, like you mentioned this eBay store a couple times. What do they need to do? Go to eBay and search for Mobile Bay Coins, or is it best to go through the website?
The easiest thing to do is just go to mobilebaycoins.com. There's a shop button up there. Click on the shop button. And if you just start to scroll down that page, it'll say, here's a link to our eBay store. And when you click on that, it will bring you up to our store on eBay. And we're shipping things out Monday through Friday. We don't ship on the weekends. So if somebody wants a piece of jewelry, somebody's looking for a really beautiful Morgan silver dollar, we have all of those items in stock available for you to peruse. You can do it that way. And that's really right now the only way we can sell jewelry and some of the items we have here because of the specifics of that lockdown. So right now at the shop, we're strictly buying and selling gold and silver bullion, but online we can do all.
Okay, because you know what? Birthdays and special occasions and all that don't stop because of this coronavirus fight. So, I mean, if you got somebody with a birthday coming up, special occasion, you can still look online, look for those great gift items y'all have, order that, and still have that present for the person.
And you can also check us out on Facebook. You know, look at Facebook and look at some of the cool coins, whether you're looking at the Mickey Mouse, the Donald Trumps, all the different Star Wars and Disney pieces. Send us a message on Facebook. Let us know what you're looking for. We can always send you a PayPal invoice you can pay that, and we can still ship that item out no matter what it is. We'll get you taken care of.
All right, perfect. So let's talk about, once again, the website address is what?
The website is mobilebaycoins.com.
And Facebook?
Physical address, 2204 Government Street, right in the heart of Midtown. You can call us at 727-1690 or go on to Facebook or Instagram and look up Mobile Bay Coins there.
There we go. Angelo, thank you, man. And we'll be checking you out in person and online.
Sounds excellent. Be safe, my friend.
Will do. Angelo, checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right. I actually don't want to. But it is my job, as today has been, I think, and Dalton, you can check me, but I think the increase in confirmed cases in Alabama has moved more rapidly than I think in any other day that I've been watching the dashboard for the Alabama Department of Public Health in confirmed coronavirus cases. Now, the state of Alabama, up to 2,369, which, you know, you compare against somewhere like Louisiana, we're doing a lot better, but still, this has been a very big increase pretty quickly here today, with 18,982 tests given and 48 fatalities from the illness in Alabama. So we're watching these numbers coming through the ADPH dashboard. But I want to talk about what we do to get health care for folks here, and not even just health care, specifically like getting a test for COVID, but going beyond that. And it's a conversation we've had before with Kim Garrett from Victory Health Partners, and she's joining us now. I want to talk about, first of all, welcome, Kim. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
It's always a pleasure. And lay out for folks like the elevator talk when somebody says, hey, Kim, what do you do? Who's Victory Health Partners? What are y'all about?
Sure. So we are a faith-based nonprofit medical clinic, and we serve just one group of folks, and that's adults ages 19 to 64 who do not have access to health care because they don't have health insurance. So we do everything from primary care to specialty care, medication assistance, free counseling, so really a full continuum of care to keep our patients healthy and well out of the ERs and well to have that access that they need, which is especially vital right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. I mean, you have the idea is of keeping them well, preventative medicine, and helping folks with that. Although this is a curveball. This is something that is hitting people no matter where they are with their health. I mean, if they contract COVID-19, this isn't even something you could have seen coming a month ago.
Oh, goodness, no. Especially the impact it's taken on everybody. You know, of course, the older population, but we're seeing it hit everybody. So, you know, the biggest thing that the clinic is doing right now is what we do each and every day, is keeping people healthy and well, because for so many adults without insurance, they're not able to go see a doctor. They're not able to maintain their diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, all those underlying risk factors right now. You know, we want to keep diabetics on their insulin. We want to keep, you know, patients on their medication for their heart condition. We want to keep them well so that they stay out of ERs. And, you know, and unfortunately, so many people are, you know, just the economic impact it's made. You know, folks are losing their jobs, their hours are getting cut. They might be losing their benefits. And we want people to know as well that if you're newly uninsured, that there is a place right here in Mobile, and we really serve all throughout the Gulf Coast, that is here for you, that even if hopefully it's just a short stint where folks are unemployed and, you know, things will turn back around and they'll get hired again and get their benefits. But, you know, if it takes a while, Victory is here to be able to help.
And you've talked about this in the past, not just GP. I mean, you've got specialty physicians. So one of those things you mentioned, if somebody has a specialty condition, y'all have relationships with people that can do that.
We do. We've had to pump the brakes on some of them, like pulmonary and dental, just with everything going on right now. But we have counseling. We have OBGYN. We have neurology, wound care, minor surgery. A big thing is our partnerships with the medical community. So if someone needs to come in and go see Alabama Orthopedic Clinic or the Orthopedic Group or Cardiology Associates, they can be seen in our office and referred by our staff and doctors. And then they can be seen in the specialist office for a copay of like $35 as opposed to $200. So just really remarkable partnership. That's really the next step for our patients. So yes, that's all available as long as medication assistance. Last year we dispensed almost $39 million worth of free medication to our patients.
How much?
A full spectrum of health care is provided. About $39
million. Wow.
Of free medication to our patients through the patient assistant programs through the drug company.
That is, so it leaves you kind of slack-jawed with that kind of number. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's a big change in our community. What with COVID-19 and all this, what are you telling folks you're working with on this? What has this changed what you're doing with Victory Health?
You know, obviously we're following all the CDC guidelines and protocols with social distancing, with sanitation. We have lightened up our schedule so that we aren't having, you know, tons of patients at the clinic at the same time. Same with our staff. We are doing some different hours so that we can, you know, just obviously limit the exposure for our staff. But then also, you know, just being mindful and watching it day by day. There's still so much change that's going on, but we are just certainly being mindful of everything. But we can rest assured for our patients coming in that we are doing everything that we need to keep them as safe and as healthy as we possibly can.
All right. Somebody listening to us right now that has been uninsured for a while, or like you just described, now finds himself uninsured, nowhere to turn to. How do they get in touch with you again? Give us the best way to do this.
Sure. They can reach our clinic directly at 251-460-0999. Or our website has all the information that everyone needs. It's victoryhealth.org.
All right, Kim, as always, I appreciate your time, and I really appreciate what y'all are doing with Victory Health Partners. And come back and see us again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for always being a voice for us, and take care.
All right. You too. Take care of that baby. All right.
I will.
All right. I know you will. Kim Garrett checking in from Victory Health Partners, and we're coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Grab some of your text and your phone calls. The phone number 343-0106, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I wouldn't be, well, Zydeco reminds me it's been too long without crawfish. I wonder if I can, I've been socially distancing with crawfish for a long time. It's called not wanting to share. Maybe that's in the schedule for this afternoon. All right, 151 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, I'm Sean. Coming up, Paul Feinbaum in just about 9 minutes. I did get an email. I talked about this story a couple times yesterday, and we put it up on the Twitter feed. It is also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. But I got an email. Somebody said you said something about 401ks. Okay, I think they're referring to the story from NerdWallet I talked about yesterday. Just quick, because there's a couple things I need to hit before we finish up, but you can check out more of that story at facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, but it's a part of the CARES Act, the Corona Aid Relief and Economic Security Act. And we've talked about it a bunch because the one-time payments, you know, the $1,200 per individual, I think like $3,200 for a family of four. There's that part of it. There's the small business portion of it that we've talked about. But there's also a deal here where you could withdraw up to $100,000 from your 401k or your 403b and not pay the penalty. They're waiving the 10% penalty is waived in distributions from 401ks, 403bs. If it's taken out in 2020, there's no penalty. There's no mandatory withholding requirements. It's up to $100,000. They're also, you take the money out and the tax portion of that, right, like 20%, that tax portion, you can, if you put the money back in within 3 years, you can claim a refund on any kind of taxes, so you don't have any tax implication, you don't pay the penalty. And I think if you want to pay it, if you do want to keep it out, if you keep it, that's right, if you keep the money out, you can pay back the taxes over 3 years owed on it. So, and also it said, if you're 70 and a half or older, and this is when you would take your distribution, you can choose not to this year and let it grow for another year, which can help you, you know, obviously from having to sell stock at a bad time. So so those are some, and it, I think it's pretty much for everybody. What is it? Hold on. Scroll here. Okay, who's eligible? Any individual who's experienced adverse financial consequences because they've been quarantined or furloughed or because their hours at work were cut. Individuals who haven't been able to work because they had to stay home to take care of their kids. Business owners who've had to slash operating hours or shut down due to the outbreak. Or if you, your spouse, dependent, have been diagnosed with COVID-19. So it's just another part of this that hadn't got as much discussion, but it may help some people in the short term. And more on that story on the Facebook page. Or if you want to text me, I can send you the link directly. Just text us at 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, a couple other things here. We talked about it in the beginning of the first hour of Midday Mobile. But Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson talking about the city. Now, he addressed this weeks ago. And I remember it was maybe 2 weeks ago, along with head of finance Paul Wesch for the city of Mobile, who talked about the projections of revenue loss for the city. I've talked a lot about the state and what the state budgets might look like with the diminished sales tax and income tax as well for the state. But like the city, so dependent on sales tax, what does this mean? Well, the benefit is, I guess, that the Stimson administration has that rainy day fund. It put back that money, but they're going through it pretty quickly. The story from our news partners at WKRG from Dana Winter said, while speaking about hazard pay and Mobile, Mayor Sandy Stimson brought up the fact that the city is losing money and may not be able to handle the additional cost. At yesterday's press conference, Mayor Stimson said the city expects to lose more monthly in revenue than originally anticipated. Before April 1st, some city officials believe Mobile would lose between $7 to $7.5 million per month in revenue due to COVID-19. Yesterday, Mayor Stimson said, we now think we will have a $12 million loss in revenue on a monthly basis. Our revenue is about $22 to $23 million, so we're talking about a 50% hit in revenue. Mayor Stimson said the city will run out of money if they start the city will run out of money if they start doing it now and has to pay additional costs for an indefinite period, especially with the big hit in revenue. He thinks the city would last for about 5 months before going through all its reserves. Mayor said dealing with the coronavirus outbreak is different than a hurricane where first responders get hazard pay. Mayor Stimson explained the city pays for a hurricane by going through its reserves first and hopes to get reimbursed by FEMA. He said FEMA doesn't reimburse everything from hurricanes. In the case of pandemic, he says he does not know if FEMA will pay the city for any hazardous pay, any back pay. And at this point, he told reporters there's a preliminary discussion on hazard pay ongoing, but the city council has not approved the measure. Pretty significant. It's one of those questions. I mean, we are sales tax dependent. I mean, that's the vibe, right? And now looking at a very big hit to city budgets as maybe enough to get to the next fiscal year. But what do the budgets look like going into the next fiscal year? I asked this about the state, also asking about this for Mobile and so many cities. I mean, whether it's one of the South Baldwin cities or somewhere in North Mobile County, anywhere. I mean, so much of this is dependent on sales tax. What are they going to do going forward? I don't know. I wish I had an answer to it. Maybe you look at the 1.9, and I don't know if y'all caught that earlier. When State Senator Chris Elliott was on, he said state of Alabama could see $1.9 billion in federal money coming to the state budget. Now, how much of that would they let go of in Montgomery to come to a municipality like Mobile or somewhere to help balance the budgets? I don't know. I don't know if it'll be any. It could be some. It could be. I'm not sure. But the needs are going to be drastic. And I don't know if you're going to have a situation where the state gets that money and balances its budget and doesn't have to go into proration or something and let the municipalities and the counties go without. It's a tough question. And another part of that was, you know, counties like Mobile County had been toying with the idea of using some of the economic incentive package money out there to help small businesses. But the Attorney General yesterday, Steve Marshall, saying that's a no-go. You can't use that money to give to businesses that are already in business. So there you go. All right. As we wrap up here, I'm going to do this because we'll lead out with a song that I played a little bit of this morning, but with the passing yesterday of John Prine, who for 5 decades was, I'd say, the sound of Americana in our country. He was age 73, died at Nashville's Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and a real loss. And it's a lot of people, a lot of music fans out there are saddened by this news. And with that, we wrap it up for today, and it will be 6 o'clock before you know it. I'll be back for Mobile Mornings. Feinbaum is next.
My mother, my old man is another child that's grown old. If dreams were lightning, thunder were desire, this old house would have burnt down a long time ago. Make me believing this living is just a hard way to go. When I was a young girl, well, I had me a cowboy. He weren't much to look at, just a free rambling man. But that was a long
up your voice. FM Talk 106.5.